vehicles vis-à-vis quality and quantity, and that all younger vehicles will be prioritized at the FAB garage. Members could maybe engage the FAB on whether these promises have been kept. Honourable Member, in terms of questions regarding the resource allocation guide, the committee should require the department to provide a solid and final explanation on how resources will be allocated in the future if the RAG is done away with. And does the fixed establishment methodology only apply to human resources? And if it does, how will other resources be allocated to the different police stations? Also, the staff mentioned on previous occasion that as a registry method will be used for the allocation of vehicles to stations, and the staff should indicate how this does the difference to the RAG. The committee should also ask whether the revision of the RAG regarding Porsche engine, railway sleeve, and other operational units will go ahead. Earlier this year, the staff stated that upon conclusion of the RAG review, submission of the committee will be effected on the budgetary requirements. The committee should ask whether the budgetary requirements are available yet, and if so, the staff should provide this to the committee. Also, the committee should request that it elaborate on the function of the Human Resource Management Committee, and it should also request the achievements made by the committee to date. And the committee should also request an explanation on the standardization and normalization of the VAT staff establishment. And this new method was introduced early this year and was briefly explained to the previous committee, but I think it would be good if that explained the methodology to the current committee. Honourable Member, in terms of ground intelligence, Nadi Nyanga, the Philippine police station has ground intelligence officers deployed at the station. However, the staff stated that the station has ground information officers. And these officers brief the station commander on ground threats, patterns, and challenges, and they are supposed to be ground intelligence gatherers. In March 2014, the staff reported the following. The current crime intelligence structure provides for crime intelligence gatherers at both police station level and cluster level on a covert basis. Each cluster has a dedicated specialist for gatherers, and in order the vacancies were completed at the police station and cluster level and will be confirmed as part of the standardization and normalization of the staff establishment. And on the main message, it is important to note that intelligence and information are not synonymous. Information is raw data through observations and the like. Content and value must be added to this information. And then intelligence is a product of information that has been analyzed and defined in order to make that information useful to steer operations and policy making. Honourable Members, in terms of questions regarding crime intelligence, the staff should explain the understanding of information versus intelligence. To say that each station has crime intelligence gatherers, if I'm confirming, it is a lot more, it should be more appropriate to refer to information gatherers and not intelligence gatherers. The staff should also explain how the information gathered at station level is analysed and refined to reduce intelligence at station level, or whether this is done at cluster level. It is generally expected that all staff officers or members should be information gatherers. In this regard, the staff should explain how they are utilizing all staff members to gather information and how the information is honored. And if there is a process where officers can pass the information to the ground information officers. The committee should also request the department to explain the live allocation of crime intelligence capacity at the police station level. Honourable Members, Chairperson, in terms of sick leave, there has been quite a substantial challenge in terms of the use of sick leave. Some members of the police used to abuse sick leave is that they will on the 4-day duty cycle, they were put in sick leave, and then also that sick leave on the 4 week days. So all in all, it gave police members 12 days off work for only taking 4 sick days. It came to the attention of the committee that this system was very abused. And at the beginning of the year, the staff implemented a turnaround strategy where the 4 week days, subsequent to the 4 days on duty cycle, also now counts as sick leave, and this of course the sick leave allocation to members much quicker. So I think this is a very positive step from the staff. However, the Commission request has to provide the written report on the turnaround strategy for sick leave as requested by the previous committee in order to understand the rationale for the change and also the manner in which it has changed. And this report has never been submitted to the committee. The committee should also request that the staff provide the analytical report on the impact of sick on the views of sick leave and is still having on that. The committee should remind the staff that the average sick leave for police should be included in the 2013-14 annual report as this was not done on previous occasions. Thank you, members.
Now, thank you very much for that report. I think, colleagues, what we also have to do today is first, I think, for this portfolio committee to ensure that we are an active parliament. Remember in the past there was visits to police stations and then we would get the reports, but what we also did today, we again invited the original complainants, the community police forum, to come here to hear the responses, and if they've got some queries, we will allow them to raise those. Because we can't have a situation where only one inlet of a site. They must be reported back to the communities or the complainants, and they must also have the assurance that their concerns are taken on board. So we will have that dual approach today. Without further ado, I'm going to ask our content advisor, Irwin Beans, to give us a report on the secretariat and their presentations.
Honourable Chair, I don't want to make this too long a presentation. I forgot the members to go through the provisions of... Sorry, this is the wrong presentation. The Civilian Secretariat of Police Act 2011 established the Civilian Secretariat as a designated department from effect from the 1st of April this year. That act gives effect to Section 208 of the Constitution, which says there must be civilian oversight of policing. The Civilian Secretariat is still listed as the cost center with that and will achieve its first budget in 2015-16. For this year, we will see that still the cost center that's already reported from that. The Secretary must provide an annual report and in-year monthly report as required by the PFMA. And the Secretary must have the quarterly reports to Parliament in terms of Section 13 of the Civilian Secretariat for Police Act. See, the functions of the Secretary is quite extensive. It must, in order to achieve its objectives, monitor the performance of the police service and regularly assess the extent to which the police service has adequate policies and effective systems and to recommend corrective measures thereof. B, to monitor the utilization of the budget of the police service to ensure compliance with any policy directives or instructions of the minister. And C, to monitor and evaluate compliance with the Domestic Violence Act of 1998. And then make recommendations to the police service on disciplinary procedures and measures with regard to non-compliance of the DVA. And then E, to consider such recommendations and suggestions and requests concerning the police and police matters as it may receive from any source. If it's conducted, of course, to be conducted in any search as it may be in this year, and she is to enter into either a memorandum of understanding or agreements, or both the consultation of the minister with civilian oversight groups and other parties engaged in such groups and parties to strengthen cooperation between the various operators. The secretary also advised the minister in the exercise of his powers and, the performance of his functions. I was to provide the minister with regular reports regarding the performance of the police service job, and then the implementation and, of and compliance by the police service with the policy directive issue or instructions made by the minister. And J, assist and monitor the police service's ability to receive and deal with complaints against its members. And therefore, two, since the Service Secretary, for the purpose of Section 5, Section 1, establish the necessary competencies and capabilities in its operations in order to conduct a search into any police matter or report to the Secretary thereon, and two, to provide policy advice to the Minister through the Secretary, to make available recent, relevant, and evidence-based decisions to the Minister and the Parliament, and to create a resource information centre and to develop at least one civil society reference group. They should also conduct quality assessments of the police service and monitor and evaluate its performance, to identify areas of early interventions, review the policy of the police practices and develop best practice models, and recommend steps for improved service delivery and police effectiveness, and then develop framework and strategies to ensure improved police accountability. Other functions here, again, the facilitate implement intergovernmental cooperation on safety, and conduct ongoing interactions with citizens in the manner contemplated in this act. You'll see the structure of security that's set up to talk to these functions in terms of the three key directors, chief directors rather, and then enhance the quality and accessibility of safety programs to improve participation by the community. And four is to encourage national dialogue on safety and crime prevention. Five is to facilitate proactive and intervention models in communities. Six, coordinate efforts to deal with challenges faced by the police service as requested by the minister. And seven, develop frameworks and strategies to ensure uniformity, accountability, and enhancement of community police force and associated structures. Maximize capacity and expertise in the civilian secretariat. Now, in terms of the domestic violence reports, in terms of Section 5C of the Domestic Violence Act, the secretariat must submit monthly reports to Parliament. Regarding the number and particulars of the matters reported to in terms of subsection 18, 4A, and setting up the recommendations with respect to such matters. The Secretary has not tabled the regular 6 monthly reports to Parliament, and the committee should consider how these will come. We only just received those reports at our strategic planning, and she's the data on that thing is also questionable. The Secretary has the committee should engage the secretary on the complaints dialogue that was held on the D-Day and the complaints protocol that it's developing or it has developed. Chair is also supposed to be a consultative forum with IPED that the secretary must, in terms of the Act, in terms of Chapter 4 of the IPED Act and Section 51 of the Civilian Secretariat of the Police Act, a consultative forum must be set up with the IPED and the secretary. This consultative forum is meant to allow the secretary and IPED to talk about the D-Day reports and matters of mutual interest and see what recommendations are being made to the police and how they're implementing it. Chair, this forum is meeting at least 4 times a year. Now, there's been difficulty in terms of what we see in setting up this meeting, and although agenda is received by the, from the secretary, meetings have taken place, and we've heard the secretary report here that they set up agendas, that meeting has never been taken place. And this issue of concern, the committee should really question why these meetings have not taken place. It's never been the intention that the meetings don't take place. They should cooperate. And the secretary is meant to convene the first meeting and then also with the executive director of IPED. That meeting is important for the committee and for the secretary of IPED. So just in terms of expenditures, I've taken the information from the researcher that she's put together. And if you look at the end of the first quarter, they have already spent only 60% of their budget. Again, it's lower than the projected expenditure trends. Here, the secretary has a total budget of 99,798,000. If you look at the breakdown, administration was projected to have spent 23.7, and the actual spend 24%, so they're slightly higher in terms of administration for the Secretariat. The program on intersectoral coordination and strategic partnerships was meant to spend 23.4%. They've only spent 16.8%. There's a serious underspending. The legislation policy unit, again, projected to spend 20%, but spent 12.7%. And if we look at the fact that the white paper must be finalized, and that there's lots of outstanding pieces of policy and legislation that must come here, then we should question why it's so low. Here, the civilian oversight function, too, is even lower, it's 9.2%, as opposed to the 21% that should have already been given. So, in terms of, I think, the area for concern for the committee, the research that's been done in this committee has shown normally if the entity or the department don't speak to us, agree to budgets, then of course concern for underspending further down the line. Here's some key questions I thought that's important for the committee just to take note of. Is an independent IT system and governance framework to capitalize on such IT systems. The Secretariat is still tied into the set administrative and IT systems, and they also account for what they're doing to change that fundamentally so that they can function as an independent department. See, something else that was flagged is the establishment of the provincial secretaries. They've had 18 months since the act was promulgated to stop provincial secretariats and align with the national act. Today, only four in four provinces, I think it's KwaZulu-Natal, Gauteng, I think the Western Cape is one, and the other one is, I can't think about, I'll come back to it. Only those four secretariats have been up and running officially. The three states, Gauteng, KZN, and the Western Cape, those are the four provinces that have provincial secretariats, which is compliant with the act. So the Secretariat does not report to this committee if they have intervened in any province, if there's non-compliance. So they only report to the committee to say what interventions have they taken in provinces where this hasn't happened, where the provincial secretaries are not set up. Again, the administration performance information is not contained in the presentation. And then the Secretariat must report on the functioning of the reference groups. In terms of the presentation, there's two functioning reference groups. One in the policy and research unit, and the other one with domestic violence and child justice. Maybe they should just give the committee a rundown of who's on those reference groups and how often they meet. That reference group must meet at least four times a year in terms of the legislation. But there's no report, substantive report on what's happening with the reference groups, particularly if they advise. The end-game strategy must be made available to the committee. They're busy with the process where they're going around to all prompts to make sure that this game strategy, they must update the committee on the status of that game strategy in view of the seriousness that where we have gang prompts around the country. And then the Secretariat indicates that we'll finalize DNA regulation after the National Forensic Oversight Ethics Board and review the regulations. Can the board still constitute? And in any case, I cannot review the regulations of the Criminal Forensic Procedures Amendment Act. There's no provision to do so. And it's something that the committee must just check. But also, they promised the committee that they would be conducting a station trend analysis to see what the key issues are with the police stations. They have not submitted that to the committee. That's such a report. And it's in the committee's interest to ascertain what is happening there with that trend analysis. And then the Secretariat will provide the committee with a progress report on the establishment of the Firearms Appeal Board, because that's supposed to have been instituted already. Particularly in view of the fact that we've already now looked at the firearms, the Central Firearms Registry check. So I'm not going to say anything further in terms of the legislation that we are awaiting in relation to the white paper. I mean, that's key for the committee that was spoken about at our strategic planning. And again, deadline and time frames to submit, which we have information on. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much to the content advisor for that briefing. Members will remember that today's meeting was actually flowed from the previous presentation where the committee weren't happy with the answers we received. Now, We will continue with the meeting with the secretariat, but there are certain matters that I think nobody can be angry with, and we'll indicate it to them, and we'll take it in from there. So they will have to come back anyway with those matters that are not sufficiently covered or covered in terms of the rules of parliament. So we will deal with that. So I think without further ado, we'll ask then the secretariat to join us and start with the meeting. Thanks. Good morning again. Welcome to everybody to today's meeting, the various delegations. I'll ask the members of the portfolio committee to introduce themselves. Then we'll ask the secretary, acting secretary of police, to introduce her delegation. And then maybe also welcome to the community peace forum of the Yanga. The second part of the meeting, when we meet with the provincial commissioner, of course, you will come to the front and we'll then also give an opportunity to introduce yourselves. So a word of welcome. Before I'm going to say a few introductory remarks, over to the members. We'll start with Honourable Molobatsi and then go from the front row.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Angie Molobatsi. I'm a member of this committee. Thank you very much.
Morning. My name is Pindile Mola. I'm a member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Chairman Shumo. This is the chairman. I'm a member of the YA committee.
Malchi Songa, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning, Zakele Bele, member of the committee.
I'm Jane Kagabana, morning.
Hi, Elijah Obatana, I'm a member of the committee.
Bernard Joseph, I'm an alternate member of this committee.
Thank you very much. Acting Secretary.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jimmy Bufuri, and I'm the acting secretary.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Brice Basson, and I am from the Stability Secretariat for Police. So I am Director for Strategic Planning.
Good morning, members. My name is Millicent Lewicki. I am heading the monitoring and evaluation components with the Civil and Secretariat for Police.
Good morning, and I am the Kamana from the Monitoring Evolution Unit.
Good morning, I am Moiki Timashimi. I am in corporate services.
Good morning, my name is Luyanda Tompo from Monitoring and Evaluation.
Good morning, members. I'm Dawn Zhang from the Legislation Unit to deal with the Civilian Secretary of Police.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. I'm Sam Solomon from the Civilian Secretary of Legislation Unit.
My name is Dumezo Nazim, Head of Partnership, Civilian Secretary of Police.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Kiriti Lepoto. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of the Civilian Secretary for Police.
Morning, honorable members. I'm Bilkis Omar. I'm the Head of the Civilian Policy Development and Research Unit.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. My name is Nelu Nyati. I'm in the Office of the Secretary, the Civilian Secretary of the Police.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Albert Mudau, from Civilian Secretary for Police, responsible for audit and risk management.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. My name is Florian Fantoma, Monitoring and Evaluation Unit.
Morning, members. My name is Sam Mawate, Parliamentary Liaison Officer for the Civilian Secretariat for Police.
Thank you very much for introductions of the various contributors to today's meeting. Maybe just to indicate that today's meeting really flowed from our previous engagement with the Secretariat regarding the strategic plan and so forth with regard to issues that the committee felt we must all further engage to ensure that there is the necessary compliance and progress. Now, of course, the Civilian Secretariat, as well as ICPED, was created to ensure that there is improved oversight over the South African Police Service. So it's vital from the Portfolio Committee's perspective that these two institutions function effectively and also perform all functions in terms of the relevant acts. The concern we had from the previous intervention was that there is quite clearly still some major areas where the relevant acts are not fully functioning, so it also in effect hampers the ability to have effective oversight over the South African Police Service. And today's meeting is really to get a sense whether there is progress, what interventions should be further be done, and maybe then in terms of Rule 201 of the National Assembly, what recommendations should this portfolio committee table at the National Assembly, and then maybe need be further interactions with the executive. Now, going from the last meeting, we passed certain reports for today's meeting. That includes all outstanding reports in terms of the Civil Secretariat Act. We also asked for progress reports on the TBA, as well as the matters of the regulations, and of course the quarterly report and the financials. That's what we asked for. Now, unfortunately, it was brought to my attention by Secretariat and the content advisor that some of those reports were not properly tabled as per the rules of National Assembly. Firstly, the information I received is that the DBA reports were not properly tabled. So this committee is not going to look at it. Our appeal this morning is to the Acting Secretary and management to ensure that it's properly tabled in terms of the rules of the National Assembly, and that the Acting Secretary should provide also the committee with rectifying steps going forward that ensure that there's compliance. Because the problem is, if the oversight institutions which are responsible to do oversight over the police are not sticking to the rules even of Parliament, okay, we've got a real problem, and we really have to look at that seriously. Then we also received the fact with the regulations, or the draft regulations, but again, those regulations must be properly tabled with Parliament, so that must go to the Speaker of the National Assembly. It can't come directly to us as a portfolio committee. It must be properly tabled. So our appeal really is that we need to have that properly tabled, and then we can have a briefing. In the case of the DEA, we have a concern, the late tabling of these reports, and maybe in the introductory remarks, the acting secretary can give us an update. Where are we currently in terms of the EBI report, and what is the money plan going to ensure that we receive the time as well? Because there's also other committees in Parliament, for instance, the committee dealing with women and children, that also looks at it. So the cycle is then compromised, and also to monitor whether there is progress in terms of that. So that's going to be quite important going forward, and we'll have to have that briefing before we get the briefing on the annual report, because our recommendations on those reports will of course also influence our BRRR activities in October. So we'll appreciate that. So for purposes of today, we're only going to look from a portfolio committee perspective at the report on the spending report of the first quarter, and of course the implementation of the Act. That's going to be critical. So that's going to be our focus for today. And without further ado, I will hand over to the Acting Secretary to brief us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Simpson. I want to begin by thanking the Portfolio Committee for obliging us on the errors that had occurred with regard to the process of tabling. And indeed, we had an internal discussion on the errors that had occurred. And we've tightened up our processes, and I make a commitment that those errors won't occur again. The documents were available and were ready. It's just that the internal processes were flawed, and we've since fixed it. Then the second thing is that, so the DBA reports, both quarter three and quarter four, both third and the fourth quarter is ready. And next year we're going to begin the process of tailing it properly as of today. Then also last week Friday, the committee had requested that we give an indication on our state of readiness to deal with service delivery companies. So we have prepared a presentation. If the chairperson deems it appropriate, we can cover the presentation today, but if not, we can do it at a later stage. And then the second one was a document that indicates the alignment between our APP targets for 2015-2016, the HSF of government, and the NDP, and the timeline. For that one, we're filing on the 15th, and then we'll submit it to the committee. I'll then proceed with just a progress report on engagement that has happened within the first quarter from April 2014 to June 2015. And the report will deal with the following areas. The implementation of Section 4.2 of the Civilian Secretariat for Police Service Act. Progress made with regards to the implementation of all functions assigned to the Civilian Secretariat, progress with regards to the establishment of the Virtual Secretariat, the functioning of the civil society reference groups and forums, the functioning of the provincial forums, cooperation with ICES, and...
Do we have a document?
Sorry.
Do we have a document on this?
As far as I know, the document was distributed, but I believe members don't have the extra copies available. Check for you. Okay, so yes, thanks.
Then we'll also give a report on performance in relation to our targets for 2014-2015 and the expenditure breakdown. With regards to the implementation of the Act, we have proceeded with the following. We've developed a memorandum of understanding with the SACS CFO with regards to our payments while we're getting our systems in place. Then the secretary has been registered with SARS with regards to UIF and SLD and pay as you go. And then we've also been registered with the government's pension fund. We've developed our internal financial and supply chain policies, and it's been approved. and it's now in the process of being implemented. All the necessary bank and personal information has been captured, and training on that has taken place. And then we've also appointed a further education committee. We've also done an access verification process, and at the end of December 2014, then all our assets will be transferred from the South African Police Service. And then lastly, we engage in national freely on the budget for the MTS cycle. With regards to provincial alignment, four of the nine provinces are in the process of finalizing the establishment of the provincial secretariat. The Western Cape is already established, and then it's Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal and the Free State. We've also realized that it's not possible to have a one-size-fits-all secretariat, but we are working on uniformity, particularly when it comes to line items within the budget and at the structural level. So as indicated, a uniform budget structure is being developed. And we had a meeting in that regard yesterday, and set indicators have been developed, and it's being reviewed, and that review process is taking place next week. National monitoring tools have been developed, and then HOT forum in place that's being chaired now by myself, which meets quarterly. Other sections of the Act, we've taken over the monitoring of GA from IPES, and it has concluded those reports. We've held a complaint dialogue, and the issues arising out of this dialogue is now being worked on in the form of a complaint protocol. We have two civil society reference groups that meet regularly. The one is the Policy and Research Reference Group, and then the reference group on the GBA and justice, and on the implementation of GBA and Child Justice Act. We've also developed a reporting format for MNMEC, which will assist in the facilitation of MNMEC meetings, and in fact we've had a MNMEC meeting. We've established a compliance forum with SAPS and IPED to monitor the implementation of all the IPED recommendations. And the next meeting will take place now in September 2014. So what we're going to do is each of the program heads are going to be speaking to their program areas now, and then when we take discussions, the program heads will also respond.
Thank you, Secretary. Chairperson, in the previous quarter, we have established a working group with the controllers. The aim of that project is to work on the campaign against stolen goods, as well as to raise the profile of the Second-Hand Goods Act. We've also done assessments on the functionality of the CSS. The important point, Chairperson, is that at the moment, generally speaking, these matters are not supported by the municipality. So we have engaged the SARGA to visit together with them and to conduct workshops at municipal level so as to get the support of municipalities. That's the general state of the at the moment. And we've also held the workshop that was planned at a national level, and we are continuing then with the provincial basis. Public participation programs, we were not able to hold any during the previous quarter. We've done the assessment report on the crime prevention programs in provinces. We are then working to bring all the provinces together so that we can develop some best practices in terms of what happens in each province. The work on the CPF alignment is progressing well. At the moment, we are implementing in terms of the regulations.
but as reported previously, we've agreed that we will form a standing committee so as to review the current regulations on CDFs. The structures are established as outlined in the regulations, but there is agreement that they are mobilizing capacity at community level. Leaves much to be desired. That is why then one of the major tasks of the training committee would be to focus on developing the capacity of these structures to focus on community issues. And yes, we've done the also quite a good, we've done some assessments, and these, like we've indicated, Chairperson, these are the constantly mobilizing capacity of these structures. That actually their orientation is upwards. That is looking at the development in terms of downwards, looking at the issues that affect the people now. That requires training to change that orientation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. In terms of the Policy Development Research Program, we have two deliverables for the first quarter. The first one is a research report on the gangs. It's captured as a gang strategy. It's not a gang strategy, it's a diagnostic report. We started working on the strategy, and the task team that we have formulated to a GCPS cluster had told us rather go, instead of doing a strategy, rather go and look at existing strategy. So we went to four provinces and we have a diagnostic report of the four existing strategies, but in the meantime we started development of the national strategy. And the other one is a research information center quarterly report, which we've already finalized. In terms of the other projects, I reported previously that the white paper on the police was already finalized in February and we are awaiting a final workshop steps before it being signed off by the minister. In terms of the working on safety and security, we've already started work on that as well. It's a JCPS cluster project. I'm meeting the DGs currently to get assistance from them in taking the process forward. During the first quarter, we also worked on other policies. We've started work on, we had national and provincial workshops thus far on the policy on the identification of serial rape and serial murder, and also on the policy on reducing barriers to reporting crimes or gender-based violence. And sorry, the last point is a repetition of the previous point on the white paper safety and security. Thank you.
Mr. Zinkins.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Members. In terms of the regulations, these are the regulations that relate to the DNA Act. They've been drafted and they are currently undergoing process of consultation with the various stakeholders. With regards to the review of the SAPS Act, we held various diagnostic workshops at the end of the last financial year, and those workshops now, the results from there have been consolidated and analyzed, and continue with our work on the review of the SAPS Act. Once the bill is drafted, once the bill will be drafted as soon as the white paper has been finalized, the white paper on belief has been finalized. Then with regard to the finalization of the Firearms Amendment Control Amendment Bill, the Firearms Control Amendment Bill circulates for internal comment and will be published for public comment during the second quarter. There is a working draft on the Critical Infrastructure Bill, and the bill will also be finalized as soon as the critical infrastructure policy has been approved. Thank you.
The Honourable Caragona.
Sorry, could you just repeat, you said the Firearms Control Bill will be published for comment in the second quarter. Oh. Now. Okay, in our terms, the Parliament's in that out, so we're like, I don't know what term we're in. So, when would that be? Give me this.
Honourable Member, we're waiting until the end of September. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Now, in terms of the oversight monitoring and evaluation component,
We have met all our targets for the quarter except for one, which is the police station trend analysis report. Now, the reason for having not met that target is the late submission of reports by our provinces, in terms of the station visits that they have conducted. The report is being finalized, it awaiting approval of the secretary. The other two slides basically are just touching on other work that is being carried forward by the other sub-programs within the unit. Now, in terms of evaluations, we have initiated a process where we are evaluating the Criminal Procedure Forensic Amendment Act of 2010 and 2019. The first evaluation will look at the design of the DNA legislation, and the second one will be focusing on the implementation of the fingerprint legislation. And lastly, in terms of our information management system, we have completed the development of an electronic platform. We are negotiating with FITA in terms of the hosting of this tool. Phase two of the development, which would be to digitize the EVA monitoring tool, has commenced and will be completed at the end of the financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, honourable members. I'll be presenting the quarterly breakdown of expenditure. The first slide is just a breakdown of our actual spending program. And on the extreme right, it shows the percentage of actual spending. The overarching factor here is that is the template that we are using. We're comparing the spending for the quarter to the entire budget. And roughly, it should be at around 25% at the end of the first quarter. But in terms of the actual planning, projects commence and complete at different times. I can say, in terms of the projects for ICT, ICT-related projects, and not M&E, as my colleague said earlier on, that she led to initiate and finalize the ICT-related projects in the third and the fourth quarter. But if you look at it in terms of the entire budget, it would seem like we are lagging behind. The correct rule would have been to compare then apples with apples. Compare 3 years of expenditure to the 3 years of the budget or the planned activities for that. But I will come back to more details on the reasons for the variance on the next slide. The following slide is just a breakdown of our actual expenditure for economic classification. Compensation of employees. The variance on the extreme right there is actually the percentage of actual expenditure of the budget. We're spending at 17.5%. The main reason for that is including compensation of employees is the budget for the arms of Pilsworth. But the actual expenditure is still within subs. It has not yet been generalized into our books, and that accounts for 4.6, around 5% of the variance. The other reason for the underspending on compensation of employees is that at the beginning of the year we planned for additional post to structure. Our established approved complement was at 114, and then we also requested additional 5 posts from National Treasury. The system process that must still unfold before we can appoint these people. That accounts for the difference as well in expenditure there. And the goods and services, we're sitting at 12.1%. I'll come back to that. On the transfer and subsidies, we are on board because we are at 80%. Generation is on the next page where we explain the variance. As I mentioned earlier, although the secret service of police spending on the first quarter is at 18%, which is below the threshold recommended, resilient threshold recommended by National Credit that the default factors are to be taken into account. Therefore, I'm supportive that has been included in our budget, but the expenditure for the first quarter has not yet been analyzed from the South African police. Progressive support will be transferred into the monitoring and evaluation unit. That's where we've placed that. The salary notice for staff for 2014-15, which will come into effect at the end of the second quarter, will also impact on the overall compensation of the employees' budget. The other contributing factor is Office of the DPCI Judge, which was established during the first quarter. Most of the staff in the office will only commit their employment during the second quarter of the year, and this will impact on spending going forward. And also the delay, CETA. We have received the request for the judge to study his own website and the system that he will utilize to manage complaints. Further condition will come during the second quarter. The civilian monitoring evaluation program will implement phase two of the ICT system during third and fourth quarter. But when you see it on a linear basis, that will not be a part. It will look like an understanding. But it is planned for the third and the fourth quarter. The additional tools that I mentioned earlier that we have we provided the cost of in the budget, but there's still certain processes that need to unfold, job evaluation, and related processes that we have to first follow before we can appoint those people. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Is that the report? Yeah. My sense from the briefing, and I think from the presentation, there's a problem in the following sense. Of course, the quarterly report is now mixed with the implementation report. In our previous request, we asked for a full implementation report of the Act. Now, the Act's got 36 sections. Now, unfortunately, and I don't know if the members must give me indication whether we should go ahead with the questions or not, but it's not acceptable just to look at a few sections and leaving out very important sections like section 13 and so on. So just to pick and what we need as a committee, and maybe we're not clear on that, is a full report on the full implementation of the Act. That includes all the clauses. Because the problem is we've got only a limited indication of what's happened. Especially the question of trains and things like that to ensure that there is proper oversight of the police. We don't see in this. I think it's valuable, the quarterly report, or that's valuable, but the full implementation report must be a separate document. That we as a committee are satisfied. And if those sections are not being currently carried out, what is the reason for that? Just to give you an example, Secretary, maybe that is one of the issues we must, explanation on. For example, Section 13 of the Secretariat Act is very clear. There must be quarterly reports to Parliament on the activities of the Secretariat. Now, according to the Research Division and the Content Advisory, it hasn't happened. Now, we can't have that. We can't have that. It is a must. If it's in the law, it must be complied to, and I think it's not only there for purposes of interest, is therefore committed to ensure that we do proper oversight. So what we will need from Secretariat is a full indication of what is happening with each of these clauses. Otherwise, we've got a limited picture, and 2 years down the line or the end of the term, we still have struggle with oversight of the police. So we need a document in full bringing those issues go forward. That's critical. We can maybe engage on the issues with regard to the quarterly report, but it's up to members to come with suggestions. Honourable Mulabazi.
Okay, I think everyone of you just said the report is actually very quiet on real expenditures. But we'll try and engage on certain issues. But it's very frustrating, yes.
Other members who want, yes.
point of order?
Chair, I think there are still gaps. And I don't know that we would be wasting our time to continue. Perhaps we can ask that they go back to the drawing board and then come and present again, because for us to do a half a job now just seems to me like an incredible waste of time. So that's my opinion. Thanks.
Yeah, I think that is maybe the feeling I get from the members. So we will ask the secretary to come back to us to rearrange the new deck with the full implementation report, dealing with all the issues, the outstanding reports, and the action plan, to deal with that. And I think we will then immediately go over to the question, the matter, the next matter, the question of the complaints. Let's do that.
Thank you, Chair. The copies of the presentation have been made and distributed this week. Thank you. In terms of the outline of the presentation, I will touch on the background and also to touch on the various issues or interventions that we have initiated within the organization to ensure that we are able to deal with service delivery complaints against the SAPF. Now, the Act, the Civilian Secretary for Police Service Act of 2011, mandates us to exercise oversight over the police service. But specifically, Section 1J stipulates that we should assess and monitor the police's ability to receive and deal with complaints. So that's where then our mandate is derived from as the Oversight, Monitoring and Evaluation Unit. Further, Section 31.2 of the Act stipulates that we must report to the Minister on the implementation of ICT recommendations, and Section 17 obliges and obligates provincial secretaries to monitor and evaluate police conduct. Now, in their monitoring and evaluation of police conduct, they also then look into the issue of service delivery complaints. Now, in order to achieve all these, we have put, as I mentioned earlier, on initiatives in place to start to look at this mammoth task that we're faced with. Now, the first initiative that we undertook was to conduct a readiness assessment. Now, you need to appreciate the fact that our Act, the Civilian Secretariat for Police Act, doesn't give the authority to handle complaints or investigate or handle complaints, but it mandates us to look into systemic issues in terms of how FED manages complaints. But the provincial secretariats that are aligned to the national secretariat have a mandate in terms of dealing and handling, I mean, in terms of investigating and managing and monitoring complaints within the provincial environment. Now, in terms of the readiness assessment, so we just listed a few of the key findings, report on all of these initiatives that I'm referring to are available and could be made available to the committee. We found that there are no standardized policies to govern the handling of complaints. This is now throughout the 9 provinces. Different turnaround times were identified in terms of how they deal with complaints. And then also they were using different platforms, that is electronic systems, when they handled these complaints. But also others were electronic systems, others were manual systems. But then also the capacity was still a challenge in terms of the personnel and the budget, and also the relationship with relevant stakeholders, that is with SAPs and with IPs. So the key recommendation in that process mainly was that the organization needs to develop an integrated complaints management system. So that's initiative number one. And the sources of most of these complaints from that process were identified as the IPs, the public protector, the presidential hotline, 10111, and also provincial hotlines. So that indicates the broad spectrum of complaints that we deal with as an organization. Now, the second initiative was that we then, after the process, we then felt that it was necessary to constitute a reference group that will then assist us to see how do we deal with this task, because there are various agencies that are now now looking into service delivery complaints against the colleagues. And the main issue was that there were duplications, and you find that national is looking into one complaint, whereas the province is also looking into it, and the FAPS is looking into the same complaint. So we had to find a way of trying to integrate the system. Now, this reference group was maybe responsible. Initially, it was an internal reference group, meaning that it was within the Finland Secretariat for Police. But after we had a dialogue on complaints, it was then extended to IT, to the FAPS, National Treasury, DPME, the President, and also ISS and the African Police Civilian Oversight Forum. But the main task of this reference group now is to ensure that we integrate all these systems and find solutions as to how we address this. Now, also, we also need to, in terms of background, we need to also understand that these service delivery complaints that previously dealt with by the then IP, which is now known as the IPOT. So after the enactment of the IP Act, there was a vacuum in terms of now, where do these service delivery complaints reside? In essence, they were reverted to the FAPS, and from the engagement we've had with the public, they're very clear that they don't have confidence in the FAPS in terms of handling of their complaints. So as a result, we felt that we needed to make sure that we close that gap. Now, the next initiative that we undertook last year was to host a complaints dialogue, and this was the first of its kind. This brought in the various stakeholders into one room, which has never happened before. So we had the FAPS, the relevant divisions within the FAPS, the inspectorate, the detectives, all the different divisions within us that deal with complaints. We had the presidency, we had the public protector. So we brought all the various stakeholders to say, okay, now, how big this problem is, and how to ensure that there are no duplications, and also try and come up with solutions to say, how do we then approach and solve this problem, this vacuum that has been identified. Now, there were various things for the dialogue, and we had five things. The first one was looking at policy, legislation, and strategy. Now, that commission came with recommendations as to what they think we should put in place. So, as the rest of the commission, so the next one looked at resource consideration. The next one looked at electronic platforms. The other one was looking at how are we then going to monitor the complaint management system that we want to initiate, and what would the performance standards be. And the last one was looking at integration and institutional arrangements that need to be placed. Now again, the report is available on this. Each and every focus area has made recommendations, and that report can be made available. The other initiative, in terms of the key recommendations, was that we needed to develop a process flow, and in an attempt to try and map out the SE, because we have all the different agencies that deal with complaints against the police, but we don't talk to each other. But then that would lead to a policy framework and establishment of a management forum. This is at a provincial and national level. And then lastly is to conduct an audit of all existing electronic platforms that exist in order to identify reuse and replacement and retirement of any of these, so that we ensure that we have a uniform approach in terms of how the entire system is supposed to function. The other initiative we then had to look into was to get a sense to say what is happening within the SAPS inspectorates, because on engaging the various stakeholders, we found that even the national and the provincial inspectorates, they don't seem to know, or national in essence doesn't know what is happening at provincial. So we had then undertaken an exercise, so we had a focus group discussion with some of the senior managers at provincial level. And the key finding is that the provincial inspectorate felt that they are handling the complaints to the satisfaction, which is contrary to the satisfaction of the complaints, which is contrary to what we all know. It's quite interesting to see, you know, those differences. And that their investigations are timely and they provide feedback, which is also opposite of what we have picked up, and that there's a need for uniform policy or strategy, which we agree, and that there should be minimum standards for compliance. Now, they were also here in this area, there were key recommendations that were made to talk to improved communication, implementation measures, and improved capacity. Now, what also the provincial inspectorate indicated was that most of their complaints were due to poor investigation, followed by police negligence and misconduct. And this is information that is basically coming from the inspectorate themselves. So we have this information right now, and what we need to do is now ensure that we compare with the other processes that we've initiated and come up with a report that talks to that. In terms of causes of complaints, this is what also is indicated, that there's a lack of command and control, failure to follow up, and if you could look at the last one, it says it talks to ill-discipline. Now, if the inspectorate themselves indicate that there is ill-discipline in their environment, it's a key concept. So some of these aspects, we still need to go deep into them and make sure that we investigate thoroughly. Now, the last initiative that now, as I mentioned earlier on, that we're looking into is as a way of dealing with the recommendations that are goes from all of these processes. We felt that When we had discussions with our first group, it was felt that we need to then ensure that we then met the as-is process. And that workshop is taking place on the 14th and 15th of October, where we will be bringing all the different stakeholders, and the DPME is driving this process, and since we didn't have the necessary skills to undertake this process, National Treasury, the National Treasury Technical Advisory Center will be ensuring that we make the processes properly. And we, based on the, you know, on that exercise, we will then start to map out, to see how to then come up with an integrated system that deals with complaints. But on the same breath, we as the office of we as the unit of MAE, we also have to now schedule complaints that are coming through from the public. And I would just ask my colleagues to quickly give us a briefing on that, to say in terms of numbers what I'm looking at, and how we basically are dealing with those complaints at the moment. Just a quick briefing.
Thank you, Chair, the Honourable Members. As my colleague has indicated, we do handle complaints that comes, and that most of the complaints that we are receiving are coming from the public. And also from the Office of the Minister and Secretary. And yet when you look in terms of the provinces, you're unsure whether it is a result of the geographical allocation. Most of them are coming from Gauteng, Gauteng and KZN. And on average, in a year, we have received in the previous financial year plus minus 600. On a quarterly basis, we are getting about, it varies, 110 to 200. And it is as indicated, mostly it's those areas that we highlighted, even those that we receive as a result of poor investigation, problems of service delivery, poor feedback, and that we get a sense that also there is this understanding between, you know, understanding of the public also has an effect as to the criminal justice processes, you know, that communication between the investigators and what's happening in the court, it also has an impact. So basically that is the trend, and what we do, we interact with various inspectorates and provincial levels and national inspectorates in dealing with those complaints. I must say that also we do receive also those from internal, from which are HR related, where people they want to be transferred, they are concerned about the HR processes of dismissals and so on, which is we receive a variety of complaints. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for the presentation. We will take now questions from the Honourable Members. We will start with Honourable Molapati, Honourable Mabija, Honourable Kodabana, Honourable Twala.
Thank you very much, Chair. Monitoring evaluation. In the complaint dialogue that was held on the 3A, what are the developments so far to this building result? My second one is, you spoke of a vacuum of this very one, a vacuum. How are you dealing with this vacuum? The next question is on, you touched also on a very worrying theme where you said national does not know what's happening in provincial. Actually, I didn't hear you well. Because if that is the case, it means if you're not monitor what's happening altogether, because they don't know what's happening. From your statement, you tell me I didn't hear you well. My next question is on the ill discipline. You touched on ill discipline of IP, which is also very, very, very worrying. The people who must assist. Now, my question to you, how do you intend tackling this problem? Thank you.
Honorable Mubaj, Honorable Mabija.
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 8, I'd like to understand on key findings. The first one, the provincial inspectorate believe that they are dealing with complaints to the satisfaction of complainants. Can you please make me understand this sentence, the gist of it? I'm satisfied that this is true. Have you made some investigations or oversight to prove that complainants are satisfied about the way things are being handled there, or you just receive reports and you put them on paper? I just want to be clarified on that point, because it's, I don't understand it clearly.
Thank you. I want to know if this report has gone to SAS, and if it has, what their response has been. Is there buy-in? Does it look as though they will take this seriously, or are we going to have the same situation with them, with the previously ICD and now the IPED, where they say, oh yeah, that's interesting, and they ignore it or push it under the carpet? Because that's certainly what tends to happen with the recommendations made by the IPED. And they just say, oh, well, and they ignore it. So is that what we can expect from this report?
Report. Thank you, Honourable Chair. I would rather preserve my question for later.
The room there.
Thank you, Chair. Just one observation is that in my hard copy of the presentation, there's a page that was shown on the prediction. Titles have, excuse me, it was called Key Findings under the Complaints Dialogue, which in the hard copy just goes straight to key recommendations. I'm not sure if other committee members are missing that page. And if so, just to highlight, if we can get that afterwards, please. But my question was in relation to the to those findings. I was controversial now, maybe if we could just go back to that. And my question was, in that analysis about where the systemic gaps are, has there already been any kind of best practice that is looked at as part of recommending that to the provincial inspectorates as well as the provincial secretariats of the CSP?
Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is one. Can you provide clarity in the IP consultative forum?
Right, the question from my side, before we give the secretary for this round to, and the team to respond, is the question also Honourable Molabachi raised of the vacuum. My contention is, and I want your comments on that, I can't see it that there can be a vacuum. Because if you look at, let's look at the legislative requirements in the various acts. Remember, in 2011, in section 35(6)B of the IPED Act, all service delivery complaints regarding SAPS was referred to SAPS, or, if required, to the Secretariat. Now, that is the legal and actual situation. In terms of your own Act, and I'll read it, section 6, the Civilian Secretariat must, in order to achieve its objectives, monitor the performance of the police service and regularly assess the extent to which the police service has adequate policies and effective systems and to recommend corrective measures. And then E, consider such recommendations, suggestions, requests, concerns police and policy matters as it may receive from any source. Now, my argument is, in terms of the legislative regime, they can't be gathered. There's no backing. The president is wrong, unless you can convince me. It's about monitoring those activities from the police side, and we're glad that it's proactive steps, but it's concerning if you argue there's a gap, because there can't be a gap. If there are the secretary to monitor steps, it's quite clear in that. So if we can just have some clarity on that perspective.
Honourable members, first of all, to follow this up, first thing to allow the head of the MNET to respond, and then the team will support her, and then I will supplement their comments.
Thank you, Secretary. In terms of the first question that is on the DVA dialogue, it was not only complaints, there were two dialogues that we had as an organization. So the question was only referring to the DVA, and it required an update in that regard. Since we've had the dialogue on improving perhaps the response to addressing issues on domestic violence, we have finalized a manifesto which basically look at how such is expected to address violence against women at a local level. Now, the manifesto has various key indicators that we look at a ground level. And that stems from the fact that we appreciate the fact that it is not only the responsibility of the FATF to ensure that violence against women is reduced. There are various entities that need to come on board. So each and every environment has a specific indicator that talks to that. So what we've also encouraged is that then provinces should have provincial dialogues following from the one that we had. And the Northern Cape province has had such a dialogue, and hence we went last 2 weeks ago to launch the manifesto in the Northern Cape province. So in that process, we're working with various community-based structures to ensure that we address violence at a local level. We take into cognizance that there are various policy initiatives that have been made at a national level, but the implementation is problematic. So we're piloting this manifesto, and we will then be going back after 6 months to monitor progress. So we've set up structures at a local level, municipality, social development, and various roles at a local level to ensure that we look at violence. And so that is the progress that has made so far, thus far in terms of the DVA dialogue. Now, I reflect that the other questions refer to the vacuum. Now, the act, our act specifically says we need to monitor and evaluate how SEF is managing complaints. So in essence, we need to look at systemic issues within the SAPS. Now, our act at a national level doesn't give us, that's why I said there's a vacuum in that. Our act doesn't specifically we need to handle complaints. But now we found that there is a vacuum since members were able to report to the former, to the ICD then. They have nowhere to go in terms of reporting service delivery complaints. But in terms of our act, it doesn't mandate us to handle and investigate complaints. But we find ourselves doing that. That is where I was coming from.
Maybe just intervene there, also the Honourable Kogana's heart, but I mean, if you look at the legislation, that's the problem we have. If you look at Section 6 on J, provide the minister with regular reports with regard to the performance of the police service,
yes.
Implementation of the compliance by the police service policy directives issued or sanctions made by the minister, and assess and monitor the police service ability to receive and deal with complaints against members. Now, of course, I presume that there would have been various reports to the minister with regard to these gaps or to this factory. So you are the enabling institution to ensure that there is reform. That is the point we are making.
Yes.
And Honourable Palamana?
Sorry, I think this was touched on, but I presumed it was in the report, so I just make a note of it. I mean, I understand why you've only given them Limpopo, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, Western Cape. That's where your officers are, correct? In your report. So that is your source of the complaints. We have one page with four provinces listed. So I'm presuming those are the complaints from your officers or something, or I'm missing a page. But we had reference to highest number of complaints being Gauteng and KZN. So I'm not sure why you don't have sources of complaints listed in here from other provinces. And I'd like to know what time frame this is when you say source of complaints, from when till when? Is it for 6 months? Is it for a year? What is your total number of complaints over that this report is relating to? Is it a 6 month period? Is it an annual period? I don't know. I feel like I'm reading this kind of through murky water here. Please assist me.
Previous questions, and then we'll take another round, and you'll be the first one. We don't want to go.
Thank you. Now, in terms of the other question from Honourable Member Mulibati was regarding the inspectorate in terms of indiscipline. What we're presenting is various initiatives that we have undertaken. As I mentioned earlier on, there are reports in this regard. Now, it was interesting to hear that the inspectorate feels that they are doing their work. We now have to obviously balance that with the other views that we have with regards to the community, the complaints that we deal with from the community. So what we're really presenting there is that this is what the inspectorates are saying. And as I mentioned earlier on, to say we obviously have identified problem areas from these reports that we need to make sure that we go deeper and investigate. It's not that we're accepting what they say. But as you know, if you're part, whether you're conducting a survey or focus group discussion, you present the results as they are. So we just wanted to show those disparities to say the inspectorates have a feeling that they are doing a good job, and yet we have a different view in that regard. In terms of, which also addresses that question, in terms of are we happy? We are obviously not happy with that, and we want to now be able to bring all this information together to try and make sense to see why, how do we then move forward. Now, in terms of the other questions, I will leave them to my colleagues to respond to.
Okay, thank you. Maybe let me start with the last question. Let us explain that the chief director was giving a picture of the work that has been undertaken. This one was just an example of a survey, which was a self-administered survey, where we went to all the provinces. We note that in terms of the information given by the provinces, because we went to all the provincial inspectorates. Just some of them, because part was self-administered, they didn't put information, and we know that there's some information that is missing, but this is what they said in terms of the self-administered questionnaire. We note that there are other sources of complaints which are beyond this, which include individuals and so on. Going back to the issue of consultative forum, in terms of the IP Act, Section 15, it talks about the establishment of a consultative forum which is a body which involves Secretariat and IPIT to deal with a number of issues which include the IPIT recommendation. Section 17 speaks about the functions of the consultative forum. But and that forum needs to meet on a quarterly basis. But what we have done beyond that, we are meeting on a monthly basis to concentrate specifically on IPIT recommendations and the challenges and the flow so that we can sort issues. And that has been translated, but it does not speak about the provinces, and we have promoted that also at the provincial level so that matters can be dealt with speedily. The other question, there was a question about staff buy-in. We can say that there is a buy-in from staff to a large extent. They were part of the complaints dialogue, and at a senior level, both staff and IT, they have sent to us reps at a higher level, general store and others, to be part of the process of taking complaints and dialogue forward. So the meeting that we're having in that preparation that my colleague was referring to of the business process meeting, which is on the 14th and the 15th, they are part of that. And they also have identified, because they were part of identifying the challenges that there are policy gaps in a number of areas, which we are working with at all levels. That's practice. As part of what we did during the complaints dialogue, we had to look at other departments, how they are dealing with the issues of complaints. We interacted with DPSA in terms of the framework, and that we are in touch with Home Affairs and other departments. And that is why the presidential hotline is working very close with us. That the attempt is to ensure that we introduce them, including the details who are part of the dialogue, so that we can also look from the electronic side of the system, since we are working with them. Thank you.
Chair, could I have answers to my questions, please? What I asked was, okay, you clarified that your management sent this out, but what that's telling me is that five provincial officers decided to ignore your directive to fill this out. Okay, I'm presuming someone was hauled over the carpet or facing disciplinary hearings like that. But I did ask you, how many complaints have there been? Was this relating to, you give us sources of complaints and lots of percentages, 97.6% of the complaints related to poor investigation. How many complaints and over what period of time, please?
We will also a few other members, Honourable Mabija, Honourable Sichonga, Honourable Mula, Honourable Mulabachi, and Mr. Gwala.
Thank you, Chairperson. In fact, I don't know whether to go and ask him that question because it's like it's covered, but then on page 7 and 8, when I go through the recommendations, I thought I would get an amateur indication that you did because they seem to be open-ended. We don't know where are they going to be. Like, say, establishment of complaint management forum. For when do we expect to hear that it's been established? Because as they remain open-ended, and we won't be able to make a follow-up correctly.
Thanks, Chair. Slide 9. It's very concerning, more especially with the first four the figures there, poor investigation, police negligence, misconduct, poor communication, and poor response. Firstly, I want to know whether there is any indication where it shows some improvement. Previously, what was the percentage previously? When now we are standing with this percentage. And secondly, and of course I think these poor investigations are also worrying to the public prosecutors and directors of public prosecution. But then, with regards to slide 10, there seems to be no complaint from court. Are the court happy with all these poor investigations? Or the court do not care? Because definitely there must be some complaint from court.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. My question is on slide 11. Causes for complaints. Can you please give me clarity who is not doing his or her job? Because here I see lack of command, failure to follow up, lack of commitment, laziness. What did you do about the people who are lazy?
Thank you, Chair. My question is on this reference group. Who sits on this reference group? My next one is still on DDA. What measures have you put in place to improve the compliance to the DDA by members of us? When we visit police stations, we find that such members still do not know what DDA entails. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'd want to know from the Secretary and perhaps members of the committee as well, as to what has been their experience in the interface with these departments that they're supposed to be monitoring. You know, they operate within a home under the Ministry of Police. Obviously, the boss is one. But then they're supposed to be an independent body that is endeavoring as best as possible to ensure compliance by others. The Minister reports to us as well. Naturally, whatever you do, whatever you uncover, whatever challenges you identify would in a way impact on the report of the Minister of Police to us. How independent are you so as to come up with assessments that are independent and objective and reflective of a true picture as pertaining within the SAS environment?
No further questions. Yeah, maybe the last question from my side before we wrap up for the final response from the Secretariat. I think the need is for a one-stop shop for complaints. For example, we've got today the Executive Committee of the Nyanga Police Forum with us. And you know, they, if you read through their endeavors to raise their concerns about service delivery, it's really not a good book. The problems they face to highlight, complain, don't get feedback. And we can't have a situation in South Africa where all the citizens don't have a recourse for current police members. We've had to deal with it, and I'm glad about the initiatives and so on, but we need a joint approach. Otherwise, we've got four or five institutions who deal with complaints, and there's not reaction. I mean, we from the portfolio committee had a very interesting exercise We sent complaints that we received from the public to some of these institutions. Some don't come back, some don't respond in time and so on. So we need a dedicated approach to that. Maybe just to get the perspective of the Secretary on that as well. Thanks.
Indeed, the need for one-stop shop is very necessary. And the measure for monitoring and evaluation in AdMeet that we're working towards, an integrated complaint management system. Within that process, also the point raised about independence becomes very valid. And while we're working towards integration now, the assertion of this criteria in itself will definitely unfold as the year progresses. I think with regards to compliance, currently it is not optimal. As you had indicated, they are engaging with ICER and SAS to try and improve the rate of compliance. And we even, and it's stipulated, or the Ministry in Spanish had indicated that they're going to work towards developing a memorandum of understanding, both with SAS and with ICER, particularly around core functions and delivering and compliance in that regard. So we are in the process of working on it, it has been prioritized. And we hope to come forward, it will be concluded by the end of this calendar year. The specificities around the details of the statistics within the document, I'm going to allow the team to respond, and then they must be concise, say the number of complaints is actually where we originated from. And if we don't have that information, then we must make it available. But I had seen that information last week, so I'm not sure if we don't have it with him right now, but the information is there. And then with regards to progress, the data that is captured in the one slide is baseline data. So another survey will be developed annually, and then obviously we'll be able to see whether there is improvement in the data over time, hence the mention of a data analysis. Can I allow the team just to respond concisely to the questions by members and be specific?
Okay, so thank you, Secretary. As you mentioned, the information in terms of numbers is available in the report, and those reports will then be made available. We take note of the timelines to see when we resubmit information to the portfolio committee, we will include those timelines. In terms of slide 9, as the Secretary mentioned, this is baseline information. And we also need to take note that this directorate that is looking into complaints has only been established in the past financial year. But within that past financial year, we've had a dialogue. We've initiated a survey. We have done focus group discussions. And this is done by three people within the directorate. So it is baseline information for us because we had no information to work from. So I think this is a starting point that will then inform how we then develop an integrated information management system that looks into a complaint management system for the organization. So I think at the moment we actually wanted to do is just to present the initiatives that we have undertaken so far. And we will then come back and report. Once we have made sense of all this information, we'll report back to the committee. And then in terms of receiving complaints from the court, we haven't received any at this stage. So, but there are plans to meet with the court to see if ever there will be any coming from that side. In terms of improvement of DPA compliance measures that we've put in place, I'll give that to my colleague Ayanda, who will talk to the initiatives that have taken.
Thank you, Chair, and the honourable members.
In terms of the legislative put in place as the civilian secretariat, we immediately after we've had an audit at the station, we make sure we have a debriefing session whereby we inform the station of where the challenges are, where are the problems, and what can be done to correct those. But also we communicate the recommendations to the FATF through the comments forum that we have, we hold on a basis at national, and this has also been replicated by provinces. As a result of that, we've got a lot of directives that have been issued by the FATF national offices in terms of what needs to be in place to improve compliance by members. And just as an example of a recommendation that we made was impact assessment on the DDA training, and that has been undertaken by the FATF and has given us the report on that regard. Thank you.
Right, we don't discuss. Thank you very much for the presentation that we received today. Going forward, I think it's quite vital that the portfolio committee gets full briefing from all role players to deal with this compliance issue. And the suggestion from our side is we will call the National Commissioner, we will call the Executive Director of IFRED, and we will call the Secretary again in October. And also the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation of the Presidency to come and give us a briefing. Because we as a committee must have the assurance, what does that woman who lives 30 kilometers from Giani, or person in Namakwala, if there's not certainty about compliance mechanism and there's no recourse. Some urban institutions and police forums have got access maybe to parliament and their members to complain, but what about those members who wants to complain and they're not really the necessary attention from the relevant station, there's not relative monitoring then from the oversight institutions. So we really need a game plan that will work for the public, that will work for the citizens of South Africa, and the Secretariat will play a vital role in that regard, and I know the Secretary, Acting Secretary, has only done five since appointment, and you've got big task ahead of you, but I mean, we're from the Portfolio Committee, will be supportive if we see results. But we need to see results. We need proper briefings, well prepared. It must be much more time. So in terms of subject two today, the Portfolio Committee will hold those four outliers to Parliament, and they must come and explain to us what is the game plan to ensure that those complaints are dealt with, but that the ordinary citizens feel that they can have recourse and achieve that. Because if I struggle to get responses from certain institutions, then we're going to deal with it. It's not acceptable. We need proper accountability, and the secretariat must play the role of that. With regard to subject one, we've indicated as a committee we're not happy, we're not satisfied at all with the presentations. We need a proper presentation on the implementation. We need to deal with the EBA and also the regulations in a new time slot. So we want to call on the acting secretary. You're new, but you must ensure that the staff are prepared, they give you the right advice, and if they don't do it, you must deal with that as an accounting officer. We expect that from you, because the buck stops with you. So we as a portfolio committee will monitor those reports when they come again to us, and of course the question of complaints mechanism is vital. It must be sorted out. We must know exactly, there must be feedback, there must be complete details of what is exactly the frequency and its feedback. Because if we as portfolio committee don't receive the necessary answers from your institution or other institutions, what about the poor persons in the rural areas? They would have recourse, and we can't allow it as parliament. So we will see you on this subject again in October, and thank you very much. In this, we will have 15 minutes feedback, and then we will have interaction with the provincial commissioner and the resident government.